She's a talk of the town. You wanna be around to hear what Marge will say. What's going on in our hometown? What's the buzz today? She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give Marge a cheer. Marge Hazelnut. She's as sharp as can be. Marge wants to see Marion at its best. So tune in right here and give her a cheer. Marge Hazelnut.
And here we are, Friday morning, first Friday in 2019, Talk of the Town with Marge Hazelnut. Marge, here we are for another Friday morning.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's interesting times. Here we are in the depth of January, but the weather is not horrible.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as I was coming around the curve up here. I can remember when you slid around that curve.
Oh.
And beautiful out there today. Just beautiful.
I think last year about this time, the first of the year, it was snowing, it was cold, it was icy. But this year, so far, so good.
Yep, I hope it just stays nice.
I'll take it.
Me too.
Yeah.
If these people want the snow and ice, go where it is. Don't bring it here. We don't need it.
You know, a lot of people felt we were going to have a white Christmas. That didn't happen, which is okay. I think Christmas was, you know, substantial and fine. And now here we are in the new year and on with the game as always.
Right.
So one thing I wanted to talk about today was it's interesting because I think people have no patience.
Right.
I don't know what has happened to people. Do you have any idea?
I have no idea except that people are very, they don't care about anybody else. Give me elbow room and I'm coming in. You know, they don't care if they knock you down. They don't care if they say something nice to you. Well, what's wrong with you? I look at them and I think, I don't think there's anything wrong with me, sir. You know, I'm trying to be nice to people. What are you trying to do?
Remember when you used to be able to get on an elevator and you'd actually talk to the people?
Right. Now, or you don't even talk to anybody.
No, now everybody's looking down at their phone. They're not looking at you. It's very strange.
Well, I think that's one of our biggest problems that we have is these phones. The little kids are 3 and 4 year olds. Now, they look like they know what they're doing.
They do.
I mean, they know more than I do, that's for sure.
Well, I don't have a smartphone because I don't know. I've always been against phones in a way because I do think they turn you into an antisocial person.
Right.
And I try to be as sociable as I can.
And I feel sorry for the husbands. I truly do. These women, they just look dolled up, you know, and flirting, you know, and flopping around. And I think to myself, you know, there's other things in life besides being all dolled up, acting really like you're something. You know, I don't care what you have, how much money you have, what kind of car you drive. I drive and do what I have and can afford to do.
I don't know why people, what they used to call that, keeping up with the Joneses.
Yes.
Why do people feel they have to keep up with other people? Just, if you're happy with what you have, fine.
Well, my father could have gone out and bought a Mercedes. He could have bought whatever he wanted. And we drove a Ford. And I'm proud of it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because one of my, you know, I like being on the radio. I like working in the public. But one of the great things is Friday night when I leave here, usually I keep my schedule clear on Friday night. And that's the night that I spend at home just doing what I want to do, and I love that time.
Right.
You know, and that's not, doesn't cost me anything to do that.
Nope.
So
I love sitting and having my little kitty sit there with her little head on my lap. The boy cat doesn't do that, but the girl cat does. She just loves to hug up and just cuddle up. And I love her. I love her for that. Because I know there's somebody or something in the world that loves me. And that's that cat. That cat loves me.
Well, some people just have to be out all the time.
Right.
They have to have that justification from other people that, yes, you matter. Well, you know, I like to be at home alone.
I do, too.
People call. That's fine. I'll answer the phone. Mm-hmm. But as far as I don't have to go out to dinner every night of the week. Nope. I don't have to be out around people all the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's nice to just be with your own thoughts.
Right.
And there is housework to get done. There's always laundry.
Yes, the sweeper and everything sitting in the middle of the room, and I'm not done yet.
Well, like this past week, the Christmas tree came down.
Right.
And even though it's an artificial tree, you still get those pine needles on the floor.
Right.
So I had to vacuum and rearrange the living room to get the tree out of there, and that was a big project, but I enjoyed doing it.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy cleaning. I don't mind.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't bother me.
I think my new stove is coming today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. That'll be my excitement tonight. I'll fire up the stove and
now, this is
something.
The one that blew up or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, the one that
it
blew
did.
Up back at Thanksgiving.
I wonder what was wrong with it.
I don't know. I still really have no idea what happened there, but as long as I get a new one and
it works and it doesn't blow up again, you're okay. Wasn't that sad about the old brown house?
Oh, that was sad.
I saw that in the paper and I was just sick.
I remember going out there when it was the Scotch and Sirloin. Uh-huh. I remember going out there when it was the brown house. It was such a nice building.
Right.
Who built it? You remember who built that?
I don't know. I did know it one time.
Wasn't it somebody's house?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Does anybody know that? 740-383-9944. Does anybody know the original history of the Brown House Scotch and Sirloin Brew Pub? Because I don't think it was originally the Scotch and Sirloin, or maybe it was.
I don't know either.
I don't remember. I just remember it was such a beautiful structure.
Charming.
Yes. And if you had company in Marion and you wanted to take them out to a really fancy place, that's where you went.
Right, right.
Used to be a lot of dances and things held out
there.
Oh, yes,
we used to have a lot of fun. Back then, these kids have no idea how much fun we had with little or nothing. So we didn't have a lot. And I didn't even care. I had a real neat dress that looked really great on me. I wore that thing to death. And I don't care that people knew that I wore that same dress everywhere I went. Didn't make any difference to me. They didn't treat me any different with that dress than any other dress.
Well, I think that goes back to, again, being happy with what you have.
Right. Well, I always had nice clothes. My mother sewed. My friend's mother's all sewed. And so we always looked good. We traded clothes, my girlfriend and I, and we always looked nice. And if we wanted to look especially nice, I borrowed something of hers, she borrowed something of mine, and we just had fun. And our parents were wonderful. And, you know, they didn't holler at us about every little thing and, oh, put that on or put that on. My mother would say, you know, I think you'll have a little bit better clothes than that. I would put something else on. And if I didn't, she didn't say a word. And then I'd go out, somebody would say something, and I think she'd have listened to my mother, you know. Mm.
You know, fashion is an interesting thing. Some people are highly involved in fashion, and some people aren't. And mm-hmm. I think that, again, is just taste.
Mm-hmm. I love clothes. I love to look nice.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people really put a lot of time and effort in that, and mm-hmm. you can see it.
Yes.
And I think that's important.
Right.
You know, where do you go in Marion now if you want to buy specialty clothes?
I was thinking about that last night. Where do you go?
Yeah, the last place really was Elder Bierman, but they're gone now.
They're gone.
I don't know where you go.
Well, I think that TJ Maxx has some pretty nice things.
You know, I don't even know if I've ever been in there. I got to go in there sometime.
Yeah, you'll have to. It's a very nice place.
Yeah.
Very nice. Customer service is good.
Somebody told me over the holidays that they had a lot of stuff in there, but I never made it in.
Yeah, they did. Really nice stuff.
Good.
I think that Marion has more than what the people realize. I think we have nice things. And we have some real good clerks, some people that take it serious. They really love to make people happy.
I think that's true. I do think we have a lot of caring people, and I think that's very important. When you go in and you don't get good customer service, that'll tick you off.
Right, and you don't go back.
No.
And then it takes a long time maybe to go back because you know you got burnt once, you're not going to go back in there and reunite it.
You know, I got bad customer service about 10 years ago in a restaurant in town that I used to go to all the time. And it happened one time, and honestly, I don't think I've been back since then.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure that all the people are different and so on and so forth in 10 years, but that one bad experience did it for me.
Right. And I think it's how it's done. You know, it's like, I don't really care if you ever do come back in here. I don't know whatever happened to those kids or people, and they were kids. They didn't know any better. But it's sad because they're making your future.
Well, and in a restaurant, I'm not really sure what to tip because I worked in a restaurant, and I know that a lot of time the problem is not with the server. It's with the kitchen or the management. Like, if you get bad food, that's not usually the server's fault.
No.
They didn't cook it.
No, it is not the server's fault.
No, and the kitchen is on salary. You know, they don't make their money off tips, but the server does.
Mm-hmm.
So the server really is at the mercy of the kitchen. So I never understood why you would tip the, you would, if you didn't get your food quick enough or you didn't get your refills or so on and so forth, I don't know why you blame the server because a lot of times it's out of their control.
You're right. You're right. I never worked in a restaurant. I had the opportunity. And was about to start, and I came home for lunch, and my dad said, now you can't meet your friends because I want to tell you something. I want to talk to you about something. So we sat down, and he talked about how it's so different than what I've been used to. I'd been used to waiting on customers, you know, giving them good service for whatever I was selling. But I didn't have, you know, people that were going to give me a lot of money. We didn't have that kind of shoe store. And when I had a shoe store, I didn't have the top-notch one. I couldn't afford $1,000 shoes. Who's going to buy them in Marion, Ohio? You tell me. Because I never saw them.
Well, that's right.
And if they did come in, they didn't buy anything.
No.
They just came in to look around.
When I worked in a shoe store, there were just a lot of browsers.
Yes, yes, browsers. It's a good, that's a good word.
Who always messed up the shoes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They weren't abusive, you know, just wanted to ruin them. And a couple of them, I said, I'm sorry, but I can't have people like you in my store. People see you in here, and they think this store is that kind of store, and it isn't. So I don't want you to be walking around with my shoes turned over to the sides. They're to be put on your feet right.
Well,
I didn't care if they came back or not. They weren't going to buy anything.
No, no. And when I worked in a shoe store, the thing I hated the most was at the end of the night, you had to straighten the shoes. And what was it? The left one had to be up, and then the right one turned down. And God, that took forever.
Oh, yes.
Because if you had a lot of shoes,
oh, yeah,
it'd take quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But
I worked in shoes all the way through high school, and then I got a shoe store after I got out. And Hal and I ran that for a while, and he liked it. We had fun.
We
always made everything fun that we could.
Well, that's the thing. Now I notice they don't have those things to measure people's feet anymore.
Don't make the people's what?
Remember how you used to have the thing to measure people's feet?
Measure them.
Yeah. I don't think they have those anymore.
Oh, no.
Now I think there's just like a rug on the floor that you step on. But boy, I remember you used to have to measure people's feet.
Oh, yes.
That was not fun.
Oh, no. There was a lot of things that we did that other people wouldn't do. You bet your life.
And those things you made, I'm trying to think of what the term was for those. They were measurement devices, but there was a name for them. But they were just, oh, I hated when somebody wanted their, a lot of kids wanted their feet measured because school shoes and Easter shoes and things like that. And it's hard because the kid is wiggling their toes and doing all this thing, and it's hard to get them in there.
Right, right. Oh, I tell you what, I've done a little bit of everything in life. I've had a great journey.
When you were teaching, how did you fall into psychology?
How did I fall into psychology? I always liked it. When I was a kid, I always wanted to be a psychiatrist or something like that. Didn't even know what it was. But I enjoyed people. I enjoy helping people. I probably will die helping people because I love helping people. And I think that people know you like them and that you really enjoy doing what you're doing. And I always enjoyed everything I ever did. And I had some pretty dirty feet, I'll tell you, that people came in with. I don't think they ever saw a wash pan. I don't know.
Was it difficult to sit and listen to people's problems all day?
No, not really, because they're all different. And you try to figure out what you can best advise them to do if they want to do it. And I always show them, this is what I would do if I were in your place. But that doesn't mean that you have to do what I tell you to do. You have to do what is in your heart. And you have to put some time and energy into it.
So you were a nurse, and then you came to Marion and became a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And then when did you...
I became a teacher because there wasn't anything else to do.
No, no. Mm-hmm. So how did you end up in psychology from teaching?
Well, teaching and psychology classes kind of go together. And I was teaching, and I wanted a bit more education. I wanted to understand people better. So I became a psychologist.
So when did you start out at the university?
Oh, I knew somebody would ask me that someday. I don't really know when I started out there. It's been a long time. I spent 50 years total out there. And I loved every minute of it.
Now, you were also the disabilities coordinator.
Yes, I was.
Now, what goes into that position?
Well, there's a lot of things that go into it. First of all, you want to find out what it is that is making them have the problems that they're having. And sometimes it's home. We have to have somewhere to start. So the home would be the first place. And some of those children don't have a chance from the day they're born. Nobody believes in them, and they don't treat them right. And it's sad. It's sad.
Was it a common problem that people were scared to take tests? So how do you get over that?
Well, I think it's just patient teachers, patient people working with you, trying to make you understand we're here to help you, not to hurt you. And I hope I never hurt anybody. I pray every night that I haven't and that I've made their life better. And I hope I have.
Do people eventually get better when they work with a disabilities coordinator? Does it eventually rub off on them?
Some of them. Not all of them. Probably fewer than I would like. I would like to have better, you know, better cooperation.
Now, when you were teaching psychology, how did you approach a class?
I tried to make them, first of all, feel comfortable. Because when you talk about psychology, you're talking about people's beings. And I think that what we sometimes forget, they're human. And we have to take them where they are and try to bring them a little bit closer to reality. And I think sometimes they're just not realistic in some of their thoughts that they have.
Well, I wonder what has happened to people's thoughts in general now. People don't do things they used to do. Like, I think cooking has gone by the wayside.
Oh, yeah, baking cookies. Very few people. My niece, my sister, they all baked this year. My sister must have baked thousands of cookies. Because she gave everybody cookies. She had to have worked hard at it.
Yeah. But now, every family used to have family recipes that they would pass down, and they would be in recipe boxes. Mm-hmm. I don't even think there is such a thing anymore.
Oh, yeah, I have one.
Oh, do you?
Mm-hmm. I still do.
Well, you know, and I, that was always a thing. You know, this was passed down from your great-grandmother and so on and so forth. And a lot of times they would get the recipes out of magazines. Mm-hmm. Remember when Cool Whip used to have a recipe inside the lid?
Right, right.
Or do they still have the...
Well, there's some companies that still have some of that type of thing. Not a lot of them.
I haven't looked under a Cool Whip lid.
I haven't either. But there are a few people that do it. Not many.
No. Well, I think it's because people don't know how to cook.
Well, we had cooking schools when I was a kid in grade school. And I went to a mall. I used to have to walk home alone in the dark, run home alone in a clear cross town. And I was scared to death that somebody would hurt me. And I'd been chased a few times. But turned around, scared them half to death, you know. And, you know, it's sad that we have to be afraid to go anywhere, to do anything. But that's just the way the world is.
It is, and I don't know why cooking has become a thing of the past. Like Brandy didn't get her eggnog made.
You what?
Brandy last week said she did not get her eggnog made.
Mm-hmm. They have great ideas, but they don't know how to do it.
Well, I think she, what'd she say, her oven caught on fire? I think is what she said last week.
Yeah, I don't remember what
she
said. And then
they were scared to use the oven. See, I thought that was kind of a bad, I don't know, eggnog is just something I think would be difficult to make.
Not really. We used to make it all the time.
Used to make it.
Now, I don't know, we were kind of like the old farm girls when we lived in town. We lived in town all week, and at 4 o'clock on Friday morning, my dad got off work, and we were loaded up. We were loaded. The car was loaded. We were ready to go to the farm. The car was milked. If we had time, we went up and milked the neighbor's cows. And I milked a lot of cows in my life, lots of cows, and I have the cows just to show it. It was real funny. Some guy shook hands with me, and he looked down at my hand, and he said, "You milked cows as a kid, didn't you?" Yes, I did. There was a lot of cows. Now, that wasn't anything wrong, and people didn't laugh at me. Nobody ever laughed at me for being a person that milked cows. You know, I lived in town. They didn't even know I knew which end was the cows, you know, milkers, you know.
Now, what was it like growing up on a farm?
I didn't grow up on a farm. I went to the farm every weekend.
On the weekend.
Friday nights, or Friday mornings at 4 o'clock. My dad got off work, and he washed up good. And got all cleaned up, and we got in the car and went to the farm. And we started working as soon as we got there. And the farm was, my dad drove off a slow. It took us about 45 minutes to get there from Tiffin. It shouldn't have taken that long. But we did take a long time. But we talked about a lot of things and did a lot of interesting discussions.
Now, what else? Was it just cows on the farm?
Chickens.
Chickens.
Did a lot of chicken farming. Yep.
Now, was this farm also in Tiffin?
No. 45 minutes away, Upper Sandusky.
Upper Sandusky.
Yep, went up Route 53.
Now, is the farm still there?
Yes. Yes, my brother-in-law owns it.
So it was an agricultural thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what did your dad do for a living during the week?
My father was a foreman at the Sterling Grinding Wheel Company in Tiffin.
And your mother was a housewife?
And my mother had a degree in it bookkeeping and all that kind of stuff, secretarial work. And when she married my dad did not want her to work. So she stayed home and raised the kids.
Now you have two sisters?
I have, yes.
Yeah.
I have an older sister and a younger sister.
Now how was that growing up?
I don't know. I didn't pay attention to them. You know, I did my thing. They did their thing. And I don't know. I was very inclined in music. Loved it. Played a lot of musical instruments, enjoyed it. I don't know, I just ran around with all the kids. I didn't have any particular, well, my girlfriend across the street and I, we moved from a family area. They were all people, and nobody farmed. We just had farms. Nobody farmed them. But when I was a kid growing up, my father did a lot of that kind of stuff to help my grandfather. And then when my grandfather passed on, my father didn't have animals anymore. We couldn't take care of them. You know, it's a lot of work to take care of cows and chickens and lambs and pigs. And I used to love my pigs. They talk. Oink, oink, oink.
They do.
Oh, yes, they do.
Now, did your grandfather's second wife take care of the farm?
She didn't like us.
Anything
she could do was mean.
Yeah.
Well, it was just her. I was old enough not to pay attention to it. I didn't care what she did.
See, people have criticized me for talking about my aunts on the air. But see, you've had a relative who was a
yes.
a grandmother. See, you wouldn't even call her a grandmother.
No.
No. Was it bad right off the bat?
Pardon?
Was it bad right off the bat with her?
Oh, yeah. Everybody was shocked. My grandfather was a very educated man for that time, and I can't believe he married her.
So what was her flaws? What made her such a difficult woman?
She was crude. Just crude.
Vulgar.
Vulgar. Very good, very good.
So she had a vulgar mouth?
Yes.
Did she...
We didn't talk like that.
Now, was she rude to you personally?
No, the whole family.
Like, what kind of things would she do?
Well, I know my kid sister got violently sick. We had to take her to the doctor, and she had food poisoning.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and our farm was about 4 miles away. I walked home. I didn't get in any car with her.
She cooked something that made your sister sick? Mm-hmm. Did she take her to the hospital?
No. My parents did when we got home. She was so sick she couldn't even stand up.
Boy, but your grandfather liked this woman.
He must have. He married her. And my grandmother was adorable. Everybody loved her. Very educated, very nice.
Did your grandfather change as he was married to this crude woman?
I think he was blind. I don't even know what he saw in her. Nobody did. I don't know. My grandfather was a very, very lovely person. I think he had problems with his mind when he got older. I really do.
Now, did he die before she did?
I believe he did.
So after he died, did she have anything to do with you?
No, we didn't have anything to do with her. We never did have anything to do with her.
So at the end of your grandfather's life, you really didn't visit him very much?
Oh, he wasn't able to be visited. We visited. She made the noise to us that we could see him for a few minutes, and that was it.
So what was that like? What did he have, an illness?
No, he was just old.
Just an older man?
Yeah, older man.
But she didn't like you staying long?
Oh, no. No, she didn't even like us to come there. She moved him to town. He didn't like that very well, so he moved back out to the farm himself. I don't know. It was the craziest thing. I tell you, to be honest with you, I just didn't pay attention to it. I was real popular in school. I had a lot of fun in school. I was in a lot of music stuff. I was in a lot of plays. I had fun. I had a wonderful family. Mother let me try to do anything I wanted to try out to do. And I had a great life. I did. Really did.
So this was really the only problematic person?
Yep. And then probably she wasn't as much of a problematic as I made it.
Now, was this your mother's father or your father's?
Yeah, it was my mother's father. Mother's father.
Now, what were your father's people like?
They were all dead.
They were all dead.
We never saw them. They were all dead. My one aunt reared the kids. Yep, they were brought up by their aunt or their sister.
Now, did you have a good relationship with your aunts?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. My father wasn't too happy with my one aunt, but I kind of liked her. I thought she was kind of weird, but, you know. I tell you the truth, kiddo. I just did whatever I wanted to do, and it was all positive in school. I loved school. I couldn't wait to go to school. I was involved in a lot of things.
It's a good outlet for people.
Yeah, I loved it. I love my teachers. I can't even think of any I didn't like.
And schools were smaller back then, and I think that
Correct.
Was helpful.
Right.
I think that was very helpful because teachers could spend more time with people.
Right, right. I really liked my teachers. I really loved going to school.
It's different now.
And the band was very, very, and the orchestra. And I had to drop out of Glee Club, and I had a great voice. I really did. But I had to drop out. I couldn't do all this stuff. I read in the newspaper one time, and I thought, boy, that doesn't sound like me, you know. But I didn't realize how much I was involved.
You know, I was just thinking the other day, when I was in high school, I was in, I used to call the baseball games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that was a very ambitious thing to do because they had a game just about every night.
Yeah.
And you're trying to keep up with your studies and you're going to school, and I was working a part-time job. I was thinking the other day, I don't know how I had time to do anything.
You know, that's the way I looked at it. I was reading through, thinking to myself, how in the world did I do all this stuff? But I did, and you did.
You managed it.
But we managed to do it and get our schoolwork done. But boy, I tell you, I didn't go to school without my work done, I'll tell you. I'd stay up all night. And if I didn't understand it, I'd get up early in the morning, go to my girlfriend's house across the street, and her mother would let me in. And we'd sit down, and she was having the same problem. Her mother was really a bright woman, and she would help. Well, my mother was too, but they were in two different arenas. And she'd sit down and help us with our Latin, because she had a Latin major in college, so she was good in Latin. And she helped us a lot. We took 4 years of Latin.
You know, I remember when I started in radio, I was thinking about this the other day. I used to have to be there at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And then I was still working a part-time job. So I would get there at four. I would usually get out of there. If there was no news going on, I might get out by 2 o'clock. Then I had to be at the other job by, I think, usually three or four o'clock. And then I was there till 9 at night.
Right.
I don't know how I did that.
I don't know how we did it. I look down on things and I think, you know, I don't know. I must have been a whiz kid. Because I managed to do all this stuff and did it. And I enjoyed every minute of it. I truly did.
Well, that's the fun thing. When I look back on it, I think those were fun times. But I also think I must have had anxiety at the time. I remember I used to be worried about oversleeping. Mm-hmm. Because when you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning,
right,
in the radio especially, it would go to dead air if you didn't show up.
Right.
So I only overslept once, and that was a terrifying moment.
Right.
You know, the show must go on.
Right.
Now, when this radio station first started, I was working a lot then, too. I'm still working a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But that's okay.
That's all right.
Yeah.
I'm not working like I used to, but I used to work 24/7. I mean, I just worked all the time.
Well, I always figure, somebody said the other day, they said, well, what are you going to do when you retire? And I thought, well, why would I retire?
Right.
You know, if I'm physically retired, well, then I guess they'll just put me in a home.
Right.
But I
would. Well, make sure you know where you're going. I know where I'm going. I'm going to Primrose, and I know that. And it's just a matter of when I decide to do it. And I don't know when I'm going to do it because I don't know.
Well, I think as long as you end up in a nice facility.
Right, and it is.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it's comforting in a way to have those people come in and check your blood pressure and do all that and make sure everything's going okay.
Right, and I can do my own blood pressure, do it every day. I've already done it for the day. Get up early. But I don't know. I just love everything in life. I really hate to leave this world, but I know I'm going to, so I'm prepared.
You have a little while left.
A little bit while.
A little while.
I'm sad that some people wish I was moving on, but that's their problem, not mine.
Well, they'll just have to wait.
They'll
have to wait.
See when the obituary appears in the paper. I'm not worried about it.
No. I think you've got a long...
I think I do, too. I'm not worried about it, and I look at it this way. When the Heavenly Father wants me, He can take me.
Well, you know, Marge, I was thinking the other day, and you've talked about it on the air. You have now dealt with cancer for about...
10 years.
10 years. Mm-hmm. For people who are diagnosed, because every day new people are diagnosed, what advice do you give those people? Because you've dealt with it.
Oh, yeah. I've been doing it for years. I really don't dwell on it. I just go on with life. You know, I figure that when my time is here, my number's up, I'll go. But I really like life. I really like beating it. You know.
You have a positive outlook.
I do, but the thing that bothers me is other people are trying to do things to make me look bad, like driving. I don't know where they get the idea that I'm not a good driver, because I retook the test here a while back. I've done everything I'm supposed to do to make sure I'm safe. Now, if that isn't enough, I don't know what else to do.
Well, I think as long as you can still go up and down these steps, I think you can drive.
I think so. If I get down a flight of steps, I tell you, that's magic out there.
Yeah.
And then thank God, what's her name, goes and back me when I go up the steps. So if I fall backwards, I fall and she could push me back up, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, and you're perfectly mentally fit and physically. I mean, that's a long time to deal with cancer, but you have never stopped.
No.
That's great.
Nope. They called me the other day and they're restructuring everything. One of the gals said, hey, Marge, we haven't forgotten you. We got to get you healthy again. You're not well. And I know I'm not well. I know that. But I'm going to lick it.
Yes.
I'm licking it.
Now.
And I love that minister that's ahead.
Oh, yeah, he's good.
I tried to get down here a little bit early. I hope you don't mind.
No, no.
But I just love listening to him.
So do I. Pastor Whitaker does a great show. He's here every Friday morning from 10 to 11. And he's also on Tuesday nights from 5 to 6.
Oh, he's so good.
Good guy.
Really is, folks. You really need to listen to that man talk.
I just met him in the last year, but I really like him.
He's a real nice person.
He is a genuinely nice man who
right.
genuinely...
He's down to earth. He knows what he's talking about.
Yes, and he really thinks through problems.
Right.
And I like that.
I do too.
And it's an important thing.
And you know, you don't have to be brilliant to understand him.
No, he speaks very...
He speaks to us, but he doesn't speak... What word do I want to
Yeah, he doesn't go over the head.
That's right.
You know, he speaks so we can understand.
Right, there you go.
Because a lot of us aren't versed in a lot of that stuff, but he puts it in a way that's very understandable.
Right.
Very. And that's a great talent.
Right. He's very, very, very nice.
Yeah. I see so many people who get cancer now, and it's petrifying to them. But you can live.
Well, it depends upon the people you're surrounded by at the place where you go. And I have people that are just wonderful to me. They are wonderful to me. And I appreciate that. I really do.
When you were still teaching when you were first diagnosed, what was the sign that something was wrong?
I just went to the doctor. I've made my first mistake going to the doctor. Yes. I don't know. I just didn't feel good one day, and I thought, maybe I ought to have the doctor look at me. I don't feel too good. So I did and found out that I had cancer. And I thought, well, okay, got to live with it. I'll live with it.
Yeah.
So that's what I did.
That's it. So you just were kind of feeling off.
Yeah, just feeling kind of, ugh.
Yeah.
You know.
Did it go on for a long period of time that you weren't feeling good, or was it just?
No, just sporadic.
Really?
Yep. I really never really felt that sick. Never. And I still don't.
Now, with chemotherapy, were you able to get through that without...
I have wonderful doctors. My doctor is just super wonderful. And my doctor before him was good, but he went home to take care of his family. He went home to take care of his parents.
I know a lot of people get ill.
Oh, yeah. Very, very.
Yeah.
I never did.
That's good.
But I think a lot of it is because I had doctors that were positive. Okay, brace up here, kid.
Yeah.
We gotta do it. That's it.
Yeah. Now, as being from the medical field, did that help your approach?
Oh yes, yes, yes. We didn't see the cancer back then. They didn't make it. You know, you didn't see the end result like you see today.
Well, it's a good thing.
Yeah.
That today we have medicines, and they're coming up with new stuff all the time,
and you're living longer, and. I don't know. I just been lucky. I've had great doctors. I've had great nurses. And, of course, it helped to be a nurse. And I don't know. I don't know. I just take things as they come because I can't do anything else.
You have to.
And I think, well, you know, it's kind of fun to see what's going to happen next.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, that's when I get up in the morning, I always think, that's the most exciting time for me is the morning because you never know what that day's going to bring.
Oh, that's true.
Even if I've had a horrible day before, I always think, well, here's another shot at it.
Right.
You know?
We'll see what we can do tomorrow.
Yeah, let's see what we can fix tomorrow.
Right.
Because I've said it a lot, but, you know, my feeling is this too shall pass.
Yes.
And, you know, it will.
Yes.
Time doesn't stop.
Yeah.
Time doesn't stop, and it'll go away, and then it'll be the past. And it's funny how the human mind is, because tragedies sometimes turn into funny things.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which, you know, the time you're going through them, they're horrible.
Right.
But when you look back on them, you almost look back on them with a little bit of humor.
Right.
I think humor is the most important thing somebody can have.
I think so,
too. To laugh.
I think so.
I think it was that Dr. Norman Cousins, who said, laughter is the best medicine.
Oh, yeah.
I believe that. I think
I can remember that we'd be so tired after a day's job, and that we would just get almost hysterical. We'd be laughing, and people would look at us like, yeah, the people are kind of nuts. But I think we were so tired, we were.
Well, you know, I'm in no place to give anybody any advice, but if I said two things that I would say to live a happy life, laugh, surround yourself with people who can make you laugh, and never fully retire.
Right.
Because I think once you get off a schedule totally, I think that's when problems can really set in. You know? I don't know why that happens, but it just seems like they don't have any purpose anymore.
Hi.
You know, Marge? I think their purpose goes away.
I think so, too.
But you got to laugh.
Well, just like we laugh about things that happen. And it really basically, I really enjoy her very much. Well, I knock my, that's nothing to worry about, folks. I knock that over at least three or four times a day. That's my, what is it, my cane. And I like to knock it over so you know I'm alive.
Well, you remember the day we had the conversation on here, well, about a year ago, about LGBTQ. And Charlie kept saying the Q word, which you can't say.
Right.
And, you know, that was so funny. I look back on that now as funny. But at the time, it wasn't pleasant. But it was funny if you listen back to it.
Right.
Because it had to be bleeped all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
But that's life.
We've had some fun times around here, let me tell you.
Do you, do you remember the time? I think I can tell this story. Remember when Sean was with us
yes.
for a while on Friday? And this is a funny story. It was you, Marge, me, Charlie, and Sean. And Sean and Charlie got into a fight about rubber bullets. Do you remember this? They got into an argument about rubber bullets as Charlie comes in the studio. And Sean and Charlie were going back and forth about rubber bullets because Sean thought that you should use rubber bullets instead of real bullets. And Charlie did not think that was a good idea. And he kept making fun of Sean for using rubber bullets, saying you need to use rubber bullets. So we're on radio, and you can't see this. So at one point during the show, you know, Charlie gives Sean the salute, you know, during the program. And nobody said anything. And I thought, that's very peculiar. Nobody even, it was like it didn't happen. But we all saw it and knew that it had happened. Well, the next week, I had talked to Sean during the week, and he said, did you see Charlie give me the, you know, the finger? And I said, yeah, I said, I never saw that before. So I knew something was coming. So the next week, we started the show, and we used to have a pink microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And it just so happens, it was like it is now. Marge was on one side, Charlie was on the other, and I was here. Well, Sean was a little late getting there. And he came in, and we were already into the show, and he walked over, and the pink microphone was in the middle. And he said, oh, I see Charlie giving me the pink microphone. And he put his finger right in Charlie's face, flipped him. And it just killed me. You laughed, Marge. And those moments are hilarious.
Right.
And I think, I was thinking about that one night and just laughing. That was so hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie, what'd you do that for?
I can't even remember.
You did. I'll never forget it.
Really?
Yes. I'd never seen you do that. I know you told us all 420 BC, but I'd never seen you give somebody the finger like that.
Wow.
That shocked me.
Interesting.
Yeah, Sean will vouch for me on this one. I'm not the only one who saw it. It was a good moment, though. But he said, give me the pink microphone, and there it was. And, it, you know, you almost can't continue, Marge.
I know.
And remember the day Catwoman came in?
No, I don't remember.
Oh, yes, yes.
Catwoman came in and said she was bitten by a dog, and she was seeking pain and suffering from somebody. Oh, God.
Our local characters.
What happened to the Catwoman?
Yeah, we need some more local characters.
I like people like Catwoman. And remember Kathy at the Towers, who used to have a few eye-openers and then give us a call?
Mm-hmm. And the Reichert sisters. I put their picture on the internet, and I see it's popped up here lately. And a lot of people have given comments that are totally inaccurate about them.
But we'll talk some more. We're going to take a break. We'll be back at noon. Stay tuned.
Because it contains three words, gossip and tabloid, and I think those are the same. Thou shalt not better ever never hurt. If you gave it a thought, you'd have never fought. Made things worse.
That's pretty good. Very nice. Yeah, very nice. Good. You know what?